All right, let's kick off our Friday afternoon the right way, Health Naturally, and Dennis Stewart. Good afternoon, mate. Glad to see your smiling face as always in a very sprightly sport coat.
Well, thank you, Mark. I'm very chuffed about that.
All right. Now, today we'll actually be picking up on a bit of a topic we kind of started last week.
Okay. Well, last week we tried to get into the topic of cognitive deficiency. In other words, that syndrome which is associated particularly with Alzheimer's and the ageing process. And I want to put a case today for looking seriously at the contribution of herbs, particularly to address this problem.
All right, we'll see if we can address that problem. Health Naturally with Dennis Stewart, who, mate, you ready to go? Ready for fire up with caller one?
We are indeed, Mark.
All right. Good afternoon, Gordon at Belmont. How can we help you today, Gordon?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Hello, Gordon.
Listen, I'm ringing for my daughter, more or less.
Yes, yes.
Suffers from undiagnosed endometriosis.
Yes.
Still waiting on a gyno appointment for that.
Yes.
Wondering what can I purchase for her?
Okay.
That might alleviate it.
How old is your daughter, Gordon?
Going on 22.
Okay. First of all, let me just say that endometriosis is obviously a gynecological condition that requires investigation, proper investigation, and also the medication that is prescribed for it, or the treatment that is prescribed for it, is sometimes effective, but not always. And I can say that based on my own experience of helping women who have endometriosis, which, for the sake of listeners, and I'll be brief, is the reproductive system becoming congested, or if you like, blocked in some situations, by normal tissue that is in the reproductive system. And so endometriosis is a very frequent cause of infertility. And if it is not managed properly, it can get out of control and compromise fertility. And that is where I have found that in those cases, particularly where the management of endometriosis, the medical management, has not been as successful as one would have liked. And let me just say here that I'm not in any way at all contradicting or comparing what I'm going to say with the effectiveness of the medical treatment for endometriosis. But like many natural therapists, we tend to get cases that are chronic, recurring, and unresponsive to the mainstream approach. And my experience using the herb, Vitex agnus castus, and I said that slowly, Vitex agnus castus, used properly for levels of endometriosis that have not responded to the mainstream, and in the right dose has proven to be very effective and has helped many of my patients achieve particularly fertility when endometriosis previously was inhibiting that possibility. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that the first thing you should not do is just think, oh, I'll go and buy some Vitex agnus castus, which is obviously a herb, and give it to my 22-year-old daughter and think that this is going to be the solution. It may not be. And with endometriosis, I would in fact caution listeners from thinking that it is a simple condition that can be just resolved by going to a pharmacy, a health food store, or a supermarket and picking up Vitex agnus castus in whatever form you can and just taking it as if it were a vitamin or a mineral. It is not. Vitex agnus castus is a herb that has hormonal ramifications. I'll not elaborate on that, but it addresses the what I call the hormonal imbalance or disturbance in the system that is feeding the endometriosis activity. And therefore, even though I would confidently prescribe endometriosis to a woman who was not doing well with the mainstream management and ideally with her gynecologist or doctors monitoring it, prescribe Vitex in a particular concentration that only medical herbalists would really be able to facilitate, and in the right dosage, and look for the symptoms of improvement. And the symptoms of improvement normally assert themselves in a number of ways. The first thing that happens in taking a correct dosage of the correct form of Vitex agnus castus is that the period, particularly round ovulation and thereafter, becomes less traumatic. There is generally less premenstrual stress or tension, and the pain or discomfort associated with endometriosis, which is quite serious and uncomfortable, it tends to lessen and dissipate. And for a woman that stays on it for a very long period of time, and I again say, with the approval of her medical managers, because this is not a plaything, Vitex agnus castus, it's a medical herb, a herb with profound effects on the hormonal chemistry, and over a period of time, it has the potential to see a dissipation of endometrial tissue, particularly in the fallopian tubes. Now, for the sceptics out there who say, what's he talking about? My dear friends, I know what I'm talking about here. I introduced this herb into Australia in the 80s and saw some of the most impressive results with Vitex agnus castus in my rooms at Church Street at that time, just before the earthquake, when I retreated from Wirunga to Newcastle to commence practice up here. That is where I saw some of the most outstanding cases of where Vitex addressed a very active level of endometriosis and led to a documented case or cases of women that had been seriously affected by it and were compromised as far as their fertility. Vitex agnus castus, very useful in endometriosis when it is diagnosed, but only effective when it is prescribed in the correct form, in the correct dosage, with the correct understanding of what it's seeking to do. It's possible that with your doctor's understanding, and he can Google the herb, with your doctor's understanding, if your daughter is waiting for an appointment, it might be useful with the doctor's nod to seek out a medical herbalist, get the right preparation of it, the right dosage, and let the doctor monitor the condition until the specialist is confronted.
If you'd like to chat with Dennis today on a health matter or maybe men's fashion, Dennis, you reckon you'd give that a crack?
Oh, I'll be right there.
You'd be right there? Sport coat with the family crest on it.
Sport coat, 15 years of age.
Really?
Patches on the elbow.
It's a very much...
It still fits me.
Vintage,
with the,
almost.
With the Stuart crest hanging where it's always hung.
Good afternoon, Victoria at Raworth. You have a question for Dennis today, Victoria.
Yes, I do.
Hello, Victoria.
Hello, Dennis. Look, I was wondering if you could recommend a supplement or something to help me with the genetic gift I inherited from my father called spondylitis.
Oh, yes. How are you managing it now?
Well, it's really bad, sort of... just with some Panadol Osteo, and I take some fish oil, but that's about it. You know, I've just learnt to live with it. I'm 80 years of age. I'm still here.
Well, I'm older than that, and I'm still here. So, as I frequently say, you have to fight against it. Put it that way.
Yes.
So you actually inherited it, did you?
Yes, and I carry the gene, unfortunately. So I've had to tell my children and grandchildren.
Okay, look, it's a condition that. Put it this way, can be helped, but unlikely to be resolved.
Right. Yes, fair enough.
And what I presently you're using Panadol and you're using the fish oils. Panadol is the pain reliever. Fish oil with an attempt to address the inflammation.
Yeah.
Look, it's a big call to say that that would have much to offer, but what I would be suggesting you try for it. It's inflammatory and painful condition, would be a simple... Well, first of all, I wouldn't stop with the fish oil, although I think I've said on this program before, fish oils really only have, in my opinion, a significant effect on rheumatoid arthritis. It's not a broad-spectrum agent that can address all forms of inflammatory disease. But look, if you're taking it, continue taking it, but again... With the fish oil, remember that the therapeutic dose is probably within the range of 3 to 6 grams a day. Taking 1,000 milligrams, look, won't get you anywhere, but taking it in the therapeutic level more towards the 6 grams at 6,000 milligrams, is what's recommended in the literature, and what I recommend is that. And here and there patients do get benefit, they claim, by using it in conditions other than rheumatoid arthritis, for which it's highly recommended. I would suggest you stay with that. But look, a good strength, modern curcumin preparation, in my opinion, should be utilised. Curcumin is a newer form of turmeric. Turmeric is a spice, as you know. It's the basis of curry, but turmeric contains a chemical constituent known as curcumin. And curcumin has been isolated from turmeric and has been dosed correctly and put into various preparations, tablets and capsules of the correct strength as an agent to bring about a useful level of mild analgesia and also to lower the level of inflammatory phenomena. So I would be suggesting that you go to your pharmacy. Pharmacies would have it. You're close to Singleton, aren't you? Around that
area? No. We're just down the road from Morpeth, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, you'd easily get it in that area or East Maitland. But make sure if you get one that you get one that is well documented. And if you want a follow-up of the advice, go to the pharmacist. And not in any way at all saying that the health food store wouldn't have the product, but a pharmacist might be able to relate the strength of the product and the dosage more competently than perhaps a lay people. So it's a starting base. But the other thing also is don't overlook the preparations these days that are based on glucosamine and chondroitin. I have my own product called Glucosaplex, but there are other products in the marketplace that carry those two agents, which have, despite the scepticism surrounding them, have altered the lives of many of my patients who have persevered in taking the preparations containing glucosamine and chondroitin. Right. And you need to be taking it for at least 3 months before you're able to assess whether or not glucosamine-based products will give you some relief and only relief from your condition. So I would say for something that is safe and something that is useful perhaps in addressing this chronic lifelong problem, you're on the right track with what you're doing, but try what I've suggested as a starting base. See
I
the pharmacist, curcumin, and glucosamine and chondroitin preparations. If you have difficulty, get in the car and come down to my rooms.
And Victoria could not let the chance go by without pointing out how wonderful we saw you flirting with language there at the start. A genetic gift left from my father.
How
love
about
that.
Isn't that beautiful? Well, we all bear the traits of our past, don't we?
Good, bad, or indifferent, we certainly do. Best of luck, Victoria. Moving on now. G'day, Dot. You have a question for Dennis today. You have some night cramps, Dot.
I have night cramps, but I can't take the magnesium because I've had bowel cancer and I've still got the stoma.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm. Okay. Look, it might be useful for you to try a herb called cramp bark. Now, cramp bark comes in a liquid form, and it is in a very reasonable dose. The downside to it is that you would have to see probably a herbalist or a naturopath who may stock the preparation. It's not a preparation that is frequently used, although in my practice it's foundation for many conditions characterised by cramp, particularly cramp associated with endometriosis. But cramp bark, Viburnum opulus is its botanical name, is a herbalist's first choice for dealing with conditions characterised by cramping symptoms. So I would suggest that you try what I would call, if you've got a pencil and paper, the fluid extract of cramp bark.
I've got that
and,
down. Yeah.
Where do you live?
Roman Terrace.
Okay. Well, see your pharmacist up there, but if not, you can always pick it up from my rooms or any other herbalist that might stock the right strength preparation of cramp bark. Very safe. It would probably need to be taken about three times daily until you were able to assess whether or not it was doing the job. I would give that a go, particularly if you can't use magnesium. But remember, magnesium's not the cure-all. Many people that use cramp, that magnesium, come away very disappointed. Many people that take it are overjoyed. It may be the same with cramp bark, but cramp bark would be one of my first recommendations.
And that won't... how do I put this delicately?
Upset.
It won't... But whereas the magnesium, my food goes through faster.
Yes.
Into my donor bag.
Yes, that's understandable because some forms of Epsom salts are based on magnesium. Cramp bark is unlikely to do that.
Oh, that'll be good so I can put on some weight.
Yeah, dear. And the other thing I would say is if you're having trouble with transit time and you're losing weight and not putting on weight, talk with your GP about getting hold of some powdered slippery elm.
How do you spell that?
Slippery, S-L-I-P-P-E-R-Y, slippery elm, E-L-M. Now, slippery elm is used by herbalists, one point being that they tend to regulate transit time by mopping up excess liquid, I'll put it in that simple language, and giving better control to the bowel, but also... And not many people realise that slippery elm has long been used, probably not these days, but long been used as an agent to assist people convalescing and to help put on weight.
Oh, right. That'll be good if I can put on some weight.
Run that past your medical manager, which is the right thing to do. He would know what slippery elm is or should know. He can Google it and see that it is very, very safe. It is very soothing and should assist, in my opinion, control of your gut. And that would work, in my opinion, pretty well as a buffer for any unlikely side effect from cramp bark.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That's
really
helpful.
All right, best of luck with everything there, Dot. Dennis, you've had some great questions. A lot of stuff we haven't dealt with for a long while, if ever, today so far.
No, I've just commented that some very good questions and questions that I think have a good possibility of being helped by some of the recommendations we've made. But I wanted just to touch for a moment again, Mark, on the role of Vitex Agnus Castus. Now, for the sake of listeners... that is a tree, and it is commonly known as chaste tree, and it has been used very, very much in European medicine, and its name, chaste tree, brings over, if you like, some of the possibilities of the herb hormonally. The berry of the herb is used, and presently in my yard I've got a couple of chaste trees which are in fact fruiting, and that means... They have berries, and the berries are then processed, and the berries contain constituents that have this hormonal effect, which balances the hormonal chemistry, which in its disturbed state is considered to be behind the development and activity of endometriosis, a condition, as I've said, which can be, well, is normally painful, but also very compromising if it is not managed well, inasmuch that I've said it's a very common cause of infertility. And very many people in our profession will see patients that have not responded well to the medical management and whose fertility has already been compromised, and frequently retreat to herbal medicine to see if herbs, particularly Vitex, can do something to lessen the activity of the endo, the spreading of it, so to speak, and also facilitate the uptake of a pregnancy. That has happened so frequently in my rooms that I have a right to talk so confidently about Vitex. I gave the first lectures on it in this country. I was the first to introduce it into this country in the 1980s in my rooms in Church Street, where I saw some of the most remarkable confirmation associated with the right preparation of this herb in right dosage. I'll finalise my comments by saying I want to emphasise again, endometriosis is a condition that should not be neglected. Frequently, it is not recognised. Many women have been encouraged to think that it's just part and parcel of the reproductive system maturing. It's not that. If there is pain occurring, even in younger women, for whom previously it was not thought that endometriosis would be a problem, if pain is occurring even in young people, my advice would be to seek medical attention, get a diagnosis, and then either with the doctor discuss, depending on the level of the condition, the use of Vitex Agnus Castus or retreat to the medical management. I'm confident that Vitex, in the right situation, can address very compromising levels, and to anyone who's not done well with endometriosis or whose reproductive system is already compromised by the spread of endometriosis, particularly to the fallopian tubes, my advice is see a professional herbalist, natural therapist, doctors, many of whom know this herb, because I've taught many doctors about this herb, contemplate using Vitex. And as a rather superficial side to it, there is no other herb, in my opinion, that can handle what we refer to as the premenstrual syndrome or premenstrual tension. And many women would relate to the symptom picture associated to those symptoms that emerge, usually at ovulation, where there's a great upset emotionally and also hormonally. Enough said, Mark. Enough said.
Well, just one on the second point, fair. Just on the first one, though, is it my imagination or maybe I'm just hearing about it more? Is there seem to be a lot more endometriosis around, or are we just hearing more of it, or am I just that in my head?
I believe that we have become more aware of it. I remember reading a book on the way back from Perth. It's a long
plenty
way
of time to
Perth.
Read and from Perth, I can tell you.
This book was one of the most enlightening books that pointed out that the awareness of endometriosis is arguably, and the frequency of it now is arguably because many women are not just thinking, oh, look, it's just part of the growing up process. Mm. I believe that it's presenting probably more because we are more aware of it. And the literature that I read pointed out, as I've said on the program, that many younger women were encouraged to think, oh, it can't be endometriosis because I'm too young. And they put off getting or presenting to their doctor. And in some cases, that was leading to complications. So I don't think that it's perhaps more than what it was, but perhaps the explanation is that it's being diagnosed more effectively and treated more effectively, either with mainstream approaches or with the herbal approach, which I have had great confidence in expounding.
All right, we'll take that. Just a little bit more of Health Naturally, Dennis Stewart, mate. No early mark for you this week. All right?
Okay.
You're not going to get out of it this early this week. Good afternoon, Jeff at Mayfield. Jeff, you have some issues around plantar fasciitis. You'd like Dennis to have
yeah,
a crack at.
That's right, yes. You can have a crack at it, please.
Hello,
help
Jeff.
Me greatly.
Hello. Jeff, how long have you been battling with it?
About 25 years ago in Tasmania.
Okay.
And Remy down there was a horse trainer. He gave me some stuff he used on horses.
Yeah, okay.
For their muscles, and it worked on that. So. I haven't had it for about 25 years.
So
it's come back now.
Oh, and it's painful?
Very painful, yeah.
Okay. Have you seen a podiatrist?
No. I've seen my local GP.
Okay.
He's put me on Voltaren.
Yeah, okay. Look.
And the stretch, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
My experience with this has been fairly interesting and confident. Mm. It's a left-field approach, if you like. First of all, I do agree with the use of anti-inflammatories. Obviously, they can reduce some of the inflammation around the site where plantar fasciitis is active. But unlike the mainstream, I approach it from an old, how can I call it? Well, it's old, but it's new. And you might say, what are you talking about? Blackmore's developed a preparation or a range of remedies called celloids. They are mineral preparations, and they were very popular with naturopaths. I was taught to use them 40 years ago. They're not as popular today, unfortunately, and if there are naturopaths and herbalists listening to this program, I'd say, listen, get on to the Blackmore celloids, because they are a remarkable adjunct to any therapy. There are two minerals in that range, sodium phosphate, which is abbreviated SP, and silica, which is abbreviated S, SP96, and silica 70. Now, that might sound a little bit esoteric and a little bit secret. It's not. It's just a way in which those minerals have been codified in the Blackmore's prescriber. Now, in that prescribing literature, you'll find that those two minerals are called up for spur conditions and similar inflammatory activity. And I'm not boasting when I say that I've had some of the most significant skeptics to my system of medicine in public say they have been converted to it as a result of using those celloids to address their plantar fasciitis. I know it sounds very revolutionary. It's an unusual approach. Does it work in every case? No. Does it work in many cases? Yes. Is it safe? Perfectly. Is it expensive? No.
Good.
Okay. All right, a couple of things for you to keep in mind there. And Dennis, love how you just sort of tick the boxes. Tick yes, yes, no.
Oh, that's very commendable of you to make.
It's like voting. Put this person first. These people definitely last all the time.
So I get a good mark for today?
Absolutely. Now, the hourglass has got us, so we've run out of time.
Oh, dear.
But next week, we promise that we'll try and get to getting our cognitive affairs in order.
Well, look, it's a fascinating topic. And I came prepared today, but we want to look particularly at Alzheimer's and want to look at those diseases that are very common amongst people of my age. People don't realise that the percentage of people in the Western world that experience what we call Alzheimer's at various stages, the proportion of it is incredible. And therefore, we're going to look at how I believe, because I practice it myself, can arguably resist the development or the activity or the onset, perhaps, of Alzheimer's disease. So we'll want to see if we can do it next week, Mark.
But we'll have a crack. We'll have a crack, Dennis. Thanks, mate. You're off for the afternoon. Enjoy.
I'm going to the fish shop.
Oh, take us with you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.